We've been studying this week the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, so I want you to turn there and take a look at these final two verses. And I want you to know that following Jesus is uncomfortable. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, it's going to be uncomfortable, but the reward will be unimaginable. Following Jesus will be uncomfortable, but the reward will be unimaginable. And so Jesus is continuing in this sermon. We're reading it in Matthew 5, verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Keep your Bibles open because I want you to see this. Peacemakers replicate the work of the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and through his life and his ministry, he didn't come to make peace between government and man. Jesus came to make peace between God and man, and through that, bring peace between man and man. In fact, whenever we start to get worried about, is the Bible true? I know the Bible says that, but is the Bible true? One of the beautiful things about Scripture is that we have a record of how hundreds and even thousands of years before Jesus was ever born, that the exact details of his life were prophesied. And let me just ask you, how could someone predict the exact city that he would be born in? They'd have to be God to know that far into the future. How could someone predict the exact people that would show up to worship him, the exact gifts that they would ultimately bring, the exact way he would die? But listen, did you know that crucifixion was predicted? It was prophesied by a prophet. God told them what to say before crucifixion was even invented by the Romans. How amazing. And here's one prophecy I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 7. The prophet says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. The writer goes on in Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet, to predict exactly what Jesus would do during his life and exactly how he would die. And here's the amazing thing. All of it was true, and it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. True disciples of Jesus make peace as they herald the gospel of the good news of Jesus. And if we're in a peaceful relationship with God, we'll be doing our dead level best to be in a peaceful relationship with other people. People who seek to make peace behave as sons of God. God prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and Hosea chapter 1. God told Israel to make peace with their neighbors, but where Israel failed largely and often in her calling as the Old Testament Son of God. Now, you and I, the local church, those who follow Christ faithfully will demonstrate a deep concern for the peace of humanity. And it seems like every year in the Miss America or Miss Universe or whatever it is, you've seen the movies where they're asking, you know, what is it that, what do you want more than anything? And they're like, world peace. I just want world peace. It's like, I just want to, have you heard it? I just want to see world peace. How are we going to get there? Not through pageantry, not through competition. We won't even see world peace through war. You want to know how the world will see peace? When the Prince of Peace rules and reigns in it. You want to make peace with people who are unpeaceful? Here's how you do it. You share the gospel. You share the gospel. Jesus is the only way that people can know peace. And for as long as people don't know Jesus, they will be at war. And not only will they be at war with one another, they'll definitely be at war with you. And Jesus ends these Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 by saying, happy are the persecuted. It's like, what a wonderful way to end camp by saying, happy, and guess what? They're coming for you. It's like, think on that on the bus ride on the way home. people who seek to make peace behave as sons of God, but persecution is as much a mark of the true disciple as peacemaking. And I want you to know that the world does not give up its hate and its self-centered living easily. And this brings opposition on the disciples of Christ. Righteous people who are living in a right with God way become targets for the enemy. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 says, make sure that you are putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. We're living in an evil day, and the evil enemy and the evil world is coming for you. And so I want you to know that if you are living these Beatitudes, there's going to be people not like you. I've heard from people before where they're like, man, I hear that message, Pastor, I appreciate that, but here's the thing. Everybody likes me. I mean, everybody likes me at my school. Everybody likes me in my family. Everybody that I ever meet just like, I don't have any enemies. I just don't have any enemies. And hear what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not. I'm not telling you to go out and try to make enemies with somebody. There's enough Christians doing that. What I'm telling you is Jesus said that if you're living for him, there's going to be people annoyed and irritated with the way that you live. And if nobody's a little uncomfortable with the way that you live for Jesus, you're probably not living for him. Next year, we get to study the next passage, the next part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about salt and light. And when people are in darkness and you shine the light on their face, they get upset. Like you did this morning, when the lights were off and your youth leaders turned them on. How many of you know that if you've got a cut and you get salt in it, you're not going silently? I'm here to tell you that the world is wounded by sin, living in darkness, and our call is to turn on the flashlight of the gospel and to be the salt of the earth. And when it gets in that wound and when it shines in their faces, the reaction is never pretty. But even though Jesus' disciples suffer persecution and they suffer in general, they're happy because they're anticipating the kingdom of God. And they can find Christ's happiness in knowing that heaven will eventually be theirs. It provides a release from the persecution when the God haters are coming for you, and when the Christian haters are targeting you, and when Satan is shooting fiery darts at you, you can be happy. You can laugh in the face of danger knowing that, guess what? The worst thing that could happen is they could kill me and I get heaven sooner? Bet. Bring it on. People are so worried, like, well, what if I say that and they all of a sudden don't like me? They didn't like Jesus either. Well, what if I say that and they get mad at me and they start spreading lies about me? Guess what? Great news. You're in good company. They did that to Jesus too. But hold up. What if our country ever does come to a day where we've got to make like a life or death decision, like stand for Jesus or die? I'm like, I can keep living where I've got to like pay taxes and do all this mess, or I could go to heaven. Yeah, I pick heaven. Why are Christians so happy? Because we get to know God's presence now and we get to spend eternity in his presence then. Bring on the persecution. We're ready for it. Bring it on. Let me just tell you something about these Beatitudes we've been studying. I want you to know, first of all, these Beatitudes are for all Christians. They're for all Christians. You know, a careful study of the Beatitudes displays the fact that the kingdom is a physical earthly kingdom and a spiritual blessing kingdom. The Jews thought it was all right now, right now, right now. Give me the earthly blessings now. And then there is this group of people, theologically, we'd call them like amillennialists or amillennialists, and they're like, the blessings are never now and it's all future. And Jesus goes, it's both. The promises of the Beatitudes are both now and not yet. And when you study them, you see that we get God's presence now and we get heaven later. And here's who gets it, the Christian. And these Beatitudes that we've studied by Jesus, they're for all Christians. If you're a Christian, these are for you. It's not just for some Christians. These Beatitudes will describe the life of every true Christian. No matter what country you're in, what language they speak, what culture they're from, what family of origin, what ethnicity, when you look at their life, if you see these things, Christian. If you don't, they're not. The Beatitudes are for all Christians. Oh, and get this, all the Beatitudes are for all Christians. All of them. Well, I really like the peacemaker one. Like, that really resonates with me. It's like, I just really like the peacemaker. I love the peacemaker. And mercy. Oh, I love mercy. That's wonderful. But the poor in spirit, I'm actually pretty quite awesome. So I want the mercy and I want the peace, but not the poor. Or, you know what? Man, I'm all about mourning. Oh, man, I'm all about the repentance. Yes, every week. I mean, I'm just in tears, just crying out to God in front of everyone. God, please forgive me. And thank you that I don't look like that person over there. And, you know, it's like, I love the mourning. But like the mercy thing, that's why I have to mourn so much, because I don't want to do the mercy thing. Here's the thing. This is called a, what is it? Yes, it is not. I just checked because my cover just has my initials on it. So I opened up the inside cover and never, I even read this long page in here. I just want to show it to you. This long page. Have you ever read it, the long page? You don't really need to. It's not that important, but I read it and never one time did it say Golden Corral in here. Only Holy Bible. You don't get to just pick and choose the things that you want. It's an all or nothing Bible. It's an everything. Following Jesus is an all or nothing thing. The Beatitudes require supernatural power, because I'm here to tell you, the things that you have sought freedom from this week, that you've repented of, you've been challenged with, the things you've made a commitment to do, you can't do on your own. And I want to say that there's some of you in the room today, and this isn't for all, but there's some of you, and I'm speaking to you, and God laid this on my heart last week, and I've just been waiting to say it till now. The reason why you're still struggling on this final day is because you're really trying to be a lawyer or a businessman or an architect or a fill in the blank. I was right there with you. And the thing is, God's actually calling you to do something that's going to take supernatural power. There are some of you in the room that God's calling you to ministry and you're running from it. We don't hear that very often, but I'm here to say that there are some young men in this room that are being called to be a pastor. You're called to be a pastor, and you're like, I'm worried about that. And today's the day you need to, amen. Today's the day you need to surrender to that. I'm called to be a, there's some in the room called to be an evangelist. There's some of you that God's calling to take a spirit of revival from church to church to church, and not just in churches, but from street to street and neighborhood to neighborhood. There are some in this room that have been called into ministry and as an evangelist. There are some young men and some ladies in this room who've been called to be a missionary. God's calling you to leave your comfort zone and go to another culture, no matter where it may be, and take the gospel to them, to leave everything you like and love behind to go be a missionary. I'm here to say that being a Christ follower requires supernatural power, and there's some of you who God's calling to even a next level of that. Are you called to ministry and you've been running from it? Is there someone in this room who's been called to preach, who's been called to pastor, who's been called to evangelize, and you're like, oh, I've been running from that? Today's the day to talk to your youth pastor about that and begin the discipleship process now. But we've been studying these things this week, and you're like, I'm not sure I can keep up. It's a lot of stuff to keep up with. You can't do it on your own, but with God's help, you can. Stay in a right relationship with him. And I just want to tell you that these Beatitudes, they distinguish between the follower of Christ and the fan of Christ. Oh, we've got a lot of people in this day and age who wear Jesus as their logo, but he is not their Lord. The Bible never one time says wear a cross. I mean, we're like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I got a Christian t-shirt on. I got a Christian hat. I got some witness wear. I'm sucking on a testament right now. Like, it's wonderful. I've got a cross necklace and it's a beautiful thing. I got a cross tattoo. Never one time does the Bible say wear a cross, but over and over again it says bear a cross. And these Beatitudes distinguish between the person who's following Jesus or the person who's just like, yeah, I'm a fan of Jesus. I like him. He's a good guy, man. The church people are great, and I love reading the Bible. I like reading the encouraging parts. Like, I love the book of Psalms, you know? I love those. I love the Psalms. But I'm not reading, like, Haggai and Malachi and Ezekiel. I'm not reading those. I just read, and I like the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm all about them. But then they get to that like whole, you know, take up your cross and follow part. And I'm just like, oh, that's beautiful. I took up my cross this morning, put it around my neck. Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm here to tell you, time will tell. Oh, and the thing about camp is the next week will tell who's the follower of Jesus and who's just the fan. Persecution is going to come if you're a follower. And here's what you need to know about persecution. You ready? I'm going to give these to you in rapid fire. So note takers, warm up your hands. Persecution will come. That's number one. It's coming. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, see it? Look at this verse with me. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus might be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus could potentially be unliked. No. Here's what the Bible says. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. People not going to like you. Number one. Number two, persecution cannot separate us from the love of Christ. I love in the book of Romans chapter 8 where the question is asked, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Nope. As it is written, we're being killed all the day long for your sake, and we're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, in persecution, in famine, in tribulation, in distress, in danger, in all those things, we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors, because Jesus has already won the battle. Good news this morning. I just double checked to make sure this morning before I came up here, I flipped into the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. It's got all this prophecy about what's going to happen in the future. It's really crazy. People are always like, Pastor John, when are we going to study what's going to happen in the end times? And I used to tell my church, oh, we'll study what happens in the end times when you figure out what you're supposed to be doing in the meantime, okay? But let me give you a little word of prophecy here. Ready? You ready for some prophecy? Revelation chapter 22, it's the final one. The last word, ready? It is not, oh me, it's amen. Jesus wins. Every time, he's going to win. That's your word of prophecy. How's this going to go? Jesus is going to win. What's going to happen tomorrow? Jesus is going to win. In fact, he's already won. So when persecution comes, you can smile knowing like, I already know how this turns out. Jesus always wins. That's amazing. That's good news. Ready for the next one? Persecution is overcome by blessing. Romans chapter 12 verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. You want to know how to respond to people that are pushing your buttons and poking at you and coming for you? Here's what you do. Bless them. We live in the South, which means we have a leg up on all of those Yankees up there. Because when people come for us, and when they're pushing our buttons, and they're persecuting us, we get to say something that the Northerners don't. We get to say, bless your heart. Amen. In Jesus' name, bless your heart. Bless your heart. It's more than just saying bless your heart, though. When someone's persecuting you, you know what that proves? They don't know Jesus. Pray for them. When someone's trying to push your buttons, they're proving they don't know Jesus. Share your testimony with them. When someone is hating on you and mad at you and trying to destroy your reputation, do this. Ask God to get their attention so that they could be part of the family. And they'll go from being the Saul that hates you to the Paul that leads you. It's going to be a beautiful, amazing thing. This is my favorite. When it comes to persecution, Jesus radically identifies with his persecuted followers. As Saul was traveling to persecute the church, when Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, he asks, not why are you persecuting those Christians? Why do you hate the church? Jesus said, Saul, Why are you persecuting me? I want you to know that when they're coming for you and when they're hating you, they're not just hating you, they're hating Jesus in you. And Jesus identifies with you in saying, oh, my son, my daughter, I know how that feels. I am with you in that. There's never anything that you'll experience or feel or encounter that Jesus did not experience or feel or encounter. So when nobody gets it and nobody understands me and I just like I'm going through something that no one seems to resonate with, here's what you can do. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, I know you know exactly how I feel. Will you come even now as a comforter? And here's a beautiful truth. Number five, persecution brings God's blessings. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the final bookend on that inclusio we talked about on the first night. All of these beatitudes have to do with the kingdom of heaven, and here's the final one. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great. I'm here to tell you, temporary discomfort in following Jesus, eternal reward. Following Jesus will be uncomfortable, but the reward will be unimaginable.